It's time for Sweet Home Cannabama, a show that'll answer all your questions, provide accurate information, and dispel the myths of CBD. You can participate and have your specific questions answered by emailing sweethomecannabama.com. And now for all things cannabis in Alabama, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome to the show, everybody. I'm your host, Jennifer Boozer, owner and founder of Cannabama, the CBD store here in downtown Mobile. We are located at 558 St. Francis Street. Our phone number is 251-255-5155, and our website is cannabama.com. Just at the top of the show, I want to give a disclaimer. I know my regular listeners probably have noticed by now, I don't sound normal. I was torn up until this morning about whether or not to come in and go ahead and do the show. But last week, I was so sick. And I've been sick for like 2 weeks. I cannot shake the cough. I don't know what the deal is. It's making me super tired, and it just absolutely shreds my voice by the middle of the day. So please excuse my mannish voice. And if you hear me cover my mouth and cough every once in a while, I apologize ahead of time.
We're also going to call her Manny Boozer for the next the next duration of the
show.
I'm
also going to stab him with this pen I have in a tender spot. I'm sure I can find one.
I mean, I am a bigger guy, so I have flabby arms
hey,
and they look
I do
like
too.
Wings. And hey,
got all kind of sensitive spots we can poke at. Anyway,
my ego.
Yes, Sergio is with me again tonight. We have a lot to talk about, though. I did a rerun last week out of necessity, and just so you guys know, if I do a rerun, it is not a decision I make lightly. Usually it's because someone has bailed on me and I don't have a show and I just can't get over the fact that I doubt you guys just want to listen to just me. So, and then sometimes, you know, we're out of town or whatever and we have to do that. But if I'm home and I'm not in the studio on a Monday, it's because something went wrong and it's out of my control. I always want to be here with you guys. We have to catch up on so much, you know, every week there's something to talk about, and this week is no exception. We're not going to have a call-in guest because we have so much in-house business to talk about, meaning, you know, stuff with Cannabama, but specifically with the bill, with city council, with all the other applicants, all sorts of stuff that I think we just need to start hashing out.
And some cool events that are happening.
Yeah, so we're going to start with current events like we normally do. And I do want to give a shout out to a very special guy named Jason Liebrand, who is my CPA. He works for Sovereign CPA in Birmingham, and they are affiliated with other cannabis associations and businesses and are well on their way to being established as the cannabis CPA firm here in Alabama. So if you are in the industry or applying to be in the industry in any way, shape, or form, whether it be hemp or medical or whatever, these guys are the ones to use. And they're fantastic about working with me over the phone and getting me quick answers. And I really get my money's worth out of that. So I just wanted to say thank you to Jason and the entire crew at Sovereign CPA because just like Bryant Bank, they keep us rolling. When a lot of people don't want to entertain our business.
They're trying to stop the train, but they can't stop the train.
No, you can't. Not when you have a crazy pink-haired lady at the conductor's wheel.
Cue Ozzy Osbourne. Right.
Yes. So anyway, thank you to Sovereign CPA. Obviously, 420, it's always on our mind. We now have packages of information. If you email 420bienvillesquare@gmail.com, tell us a little bit, Sergio, about what kind of information they can get.
Oh, well, that's a good way to pass that on. I totally wasn't expecting that.
My throat hurts.
One.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, you get it. So as far as vendors and sponsors, it'll give you a list of understanding of what it is that we're trying to do as far as 420 event goes, and it sponsored wise, it tells you what kind of promotions that you'll be getting as far as media, radio, merchandising, how you're going to be branded on any of the promotional material when it comes to the show for 420 Bienville Square. And then if you're a vendor, similar, you'll get a understanding of where you're going to be placed, and that's what is going to be good for us to understand, because we're going to write out an itinerary for each vendor to where they're going to be placed and try to make it easier for our guests that come to give them an idea of where every place is, so they can say, oh, I want to check out this vendor, I want to check out this spot. So right. we're going to try a map
of where things are.
Yeah, we want to try to make it a little bit simpler
of
these
the activities.
Days. Yeah.
So that if any of the vendors want to participate in the blunt rolling contest at 347 over in, you know, the south side of the park, then they'll know, you know, be able to do that.
And have an idea of what kind of food that we'll have an idea of the types of vendors, because we are going to be having a variety of vendors, not just cannabis vendors that do with vapes or, you know, create like bongs or pipes or anything like that, but also like holistic people, like as far as yoga, masseuses, gyms.
Handmade art, jewelry. We've gotten together with the Mobile Arts Council to involve local artists. We're adding several new elements to 420 this year to make it even more inclusive to the different aspects of our community in downtown and throughout Mobile.
And of course, we can't do it without you.
Absolutely.
Mean, with you is what made it successful last year. I mean, we had over 800 to 1,000 people there, and it's pretty incredible just to think that in a month we were able to put something like that together. And this year, it's not that we feel like we're going to do it right, obviously, but we want to make sure that we get everybody that we're able to involved, because what we're doing isn't just promoting Cannabama and what we can do as far as a cannabis company, but the whole in education and information of people that may not understand or want to understand more about what cannabis can do medicinally and industrially, technologically, creating plastics, creating fibers, different types of food. It's a superfood, an adaptogen. So it's something that's really important for us just to understand to what best like helps you want to come to an event like this. You know, why do you want to come? Why do we want you to come? Well, we want you to be a part of this cool community. I feel that we're growing little by little, and show us how we can be there for you more.
Well, and a public showing of normalcy in consumption and education is what gets everyone's goal met.
Yeah,
you know, it's not just about Cannabama. Cannabama is the facilitator, but we want to give you guys an individual voice.
Yeah,
and the more voices we put together, and the more bodies we put in public, and the more success we have at public events, the easier it will be to convince the powers that be to give us the freedom we should already have.
Yeah. And a lot of this is also, we're trying to understand more the idea of what regulation means. Well, if we're more informed when it comes to what cannabis does, regulation is a little bit simpler, because we recognize how much and how many more people can, you know, be introduced to it based off of their knowledge. And right. That also means by regulating the types of people that sell cannabis or products of cannabis, CBD, Delta 8 or anything like that. So, you know, because gas stations aren't properly educated, but they're also giving people stuff that doesn't work.
Ooh,
people complain about it.
I had a lady working at a gas station today when I was stopped to get gas, and I'm looking at this wall of garbage.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, trying to check out, and I was like, ugh. I said, I wish these gas station owners would call somebody like me before they go and buy this trash, because it is garbage. They don't know where they're getting it. And there's one brand in particular, starts with a C and rhymes with rake, and it is a terrible brand. Most of the products are fake anyway, just like everybody's talking on Facebook about these fake nicotine vapes, the Elf bars. You know, and they look identical. I'm looking at two vapes, and I can't tell them apart because I don't use nicotine vapes. So I'm not familiar, but it's everywhere. You know, knockoff packaging from China is super cheap and easy. You know, and the lady was saying, oh, I wish they would call you, because we just had a guy in here complaining that he bought product and it didn't work at all. It didn't do anything for him at all. And he wanted his money back. And I said, well, that doesn't ever happen at Canabama. We don't have people come in and say, this didn't work. I want my money back. You know, the only time we ever have returns is when something is defective, like a vape battery is dead or it's leaking or broken or something. But anyway, when we come back, we're going to start digging into the current events over this medical bill application process and ordinances for the city of Mobile. Stay with us.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Canabama. Now with all the information you want about CBD, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. I'm your host, Jennifer Boozer. I'm here with Sergio Rangel. And
hello.
We are talking about, we were just talking about 420. And if anything that we said appeals to you, whether you want to volunteer, be a vendor, be a sponsor, email us at 420bienvillesquare@gmail.com or if you want to email jennifer@canabama.com, and Sergio is allthisent@gmail.com. I mean, it's going to be a nightmare if you email all three of us, but we'll work
it out.
I mean,
that's okay. We'll be able to sift through things. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so another event coming up, December the 12th. The Downtown Mobile Alliance is doing a LODA Cocoa Crawl. So everybody knows what a pub crawl is. You buy tickets and you go to certain businesses that are participating and you sample beer everywhere you go. Well, this is a hot cocoa one. So we're going to have different businesses in downtown that signed up, including Canabama. We will have the best hot cocoa because it will be infused.
Do you have a recipe that you're using yet?
What do you mean a recipe for
like
hot cocoa?
Like a hot cocoa recipe? I'm not talking about the Swiss Miss stuff. I'm talking about like...
You know what? If any of my listeners...
Some milk fat.
Yes.
And some good chocolate.
I have never really made real hot chocolate
that
before.
That sounds like a really good...
You know what? Let's do something. Mm-hmm. I need some suggestions, people. If you or someone in your family has a diehard real chocolate, real sugar, real fat... We ain't trying to go diet.
if G-Ma, great G-Ma, has come up with a from the old country recipe, we'd love at least for you to be a part.
Yes, especially if you're like Belgian or something.
Ooh, girl.
Yes.
That's my heart right there.
We will take suggestions and we will sure give your G-Ma or whoever credit. If you want to email me a hot chocolate recipe that you think the entire city of Mobile would love, especially with CBD or THC added to it, email that to me, jennifer@canabama.com. I would love to give you credit and have a totally awesome hot chocolate recipe because I hadn't thought that through. Thank you for bringing that up publicly and on the radio.
I love me some good hot chocolate.
I do too.
Like, if good hot chocolate is something you can have in the summer or any time of year.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm like, you know.
No, Bella's like, I'm sorry, did a leaf just fall? It's hot chocolate time. That's my daughter.
Hey, I mean, it works.
We buy the K-Cup pods and everything, like, just for a quick fix, but she will bust out some whole milk and, I'm too impatient. But anyway, that's December the 12th. If you want to look on the Downtown Mobile Alliance Facebook page, Instagram, website, I'm sure we will have something to post about that, too. I don't have the times.
That's okay, December 12th, but it's downtown. And
it is. And it's in 2 weeks, so you'll know.
Yeah, we'll go ahead and try to do our best to at least promote our part in it as well and just whenever people are going to be there.
Right. So this Saturday in downtown on the 5th, they're having a Saturday night, the roller skate thing.
Oh, downtown in Bienville Square?
Yeah, they're a holiday one.
Okay,
so they're encouraging people to dress up like elves and holiday characters and come roller skating, and they have picture stations set up.
Santa!
Yeah, I know him! Yes, I am so excited. We watched when Isaiah was 3 years old. We moved here 2 months before he turned 3. So that winter... And Joshua, my ex-husband, was working till like 9, 10 o'clock every night. So it was just me and a three-year-old in a totally strange city. No real friends. We met a couple people from church, but they lived at Fairhope. So it was literally just me and the boy all the time. And from October to February, every single night, we watched Elf. So you could probably like shock me back into rhythm after I'm a week dead and I could quote that movie.
I just want to try the world's best coffee.
Yes.
Congratulations. You did it. That's the greatest part. I love. It's like, why can't everybody just have that enthusiasm with a crappy product?
Equally the best part is when he blindfolds the girl and she goes, "It's a really crappy cup of coffee." He's like, "No, it's the best
cup of coffee.
Yeah, so we want the best hot chocolate.
Shout out to Will Ferrell.
Yes.
And Emily Deschanel.
Yes. So that'll be December 12th.
Sorry, Zoe Deschanel.
Yes. There's two of them.
They're sisters, and they're both equally great in their own right.
So Christmas hours, you know, we were just talking about this. We're only really closed. Easter, 4th of July, Thanksgiving, and Christmas Day. So our holiday hours will be normal hours, except that we will close at 4 p.m. on Christmas Eve, and then we will be closed on Christmas Day. So we'll be back up and running the day after. That just means come in on the 23rd, and you won't have to wait in line.
Load up.
With all the last-minute people.
Yeah. Load up, because you're going to need that flour and the gummies to work with your family.
On that note, we have some new and exciting things about to roll out that we can't officially talk about for maybe another week that you're going to want to get in on in this holiday season, because you'll be the coolest person at whatever function you're at if you decide to go with what we're doing and come and partake. But we also have a gift rack that I got over the summer. I'm hoping for Christmas, you know, dirty Santa parties, gag gifts for your stoner siblings or your dad who secretly has a stash in his sock drawer. We have gift bags that are
GMA that has the joint issues.
Right. Yes. We're going to get making that cocoa. Hot chocolate.
Yeah, man. She'd be spinning that cocoa saying, "My elbow hurts." Yes. Yeah. And be like, "That's okay, GMA. I got you some stuff from Canabama."
That's right. So we have gift bags with little gold pot leaves in different colors with matching tissue paper. We have weed and mushroom themed socks. We have greeting cards.
Ooh, yeah.
Some are inappropriate and some are just funny weed puns. And they have a one hitter attached to them. If you know, you know. And then we have a little 8-packs. Of bright colored and patterned pretty rolling cones. So you can make like a pink and gold joint, you know, or one covered in elephants or a rainbow one or one with little mint green pot leaves on it. And basically each individual item would cost you around $35 total. But if you buy one of each, we give you a $5 price break. So it's great because then you can stick a little bit of gummies or a little bit of bud in there. Or some dog treats, and you got the whole package done. Wash your hands of it. Be the coolest guy at the office.
So basically, she's saying that we're your one-stop shop if you want it.
If you care about your family.
Canna, you do right this year?
Yeah. Canna, we hemp you out. Okay, so anyway, that's Christmas. A lot coming down the pike. It's the end of the year. We're looking forward to the new year and even more. So anyway, I want to get into more current events. Today, the Mobile City Council met for the second time with the issue of dispensary ordinances. Now, I've explained this. Each municipality, meaning each city and each county, has the opportunity to pass an ordinance either for or against allowing dispensaries to be established in their municipality. So I'm not sure what's going on with the county of Mobile. Have heard nothing about this. But the city is finally coming along. Last week they had a meeting where the subject was brought up. I read about it, read some quotes from that meeting that I wanted to point out because, as usual, a lot of stuff that's completely wildly inaccurate. One of the comments was that you can already get medical marijuana at pharmacies and that we don't want pot shops all over the city. First of all, you cannot get medical marijuana anywhere in Alabama. If you are on your deathbed or you have or you're a pediatric patient who has catastrophic seizures, you can get synthetic THC in the form of Marinol. It is fake THC that they can patent and monopolize and offer it very sparingly. It's pointless to me because why use a fake version of something that's incredibly effective? And as usual, what we've been taught and what we've been teaching for 3.5 years now on this show is that one part of the plant is great, but the whole plant is what people need. That's the medicine.
That would have been a great caveat into or like segue into the next part about the medical bill and everything like that. But anyways, go ahead.
So anyway, there will not be pot shops all over the city that are open to the public. As you guys, if you're listening, know, there are only going to be 37 total dispensaries over 67 counties. Yes, people are going to try to put them all in the most populated areas. But that might mean 4 in Mobile County, maybe 2 or 3 in Baldwin County.
And that's if they can stay afloat after however long.
And that's if those municipalities allow it. So pot shops all over the city is ridiculous. I think we heard that from Tim James when he was running for governor earlier this year when I spent an entire show debunking his stuff when he said there would be pot shops on every corner all over Alabama. It's just ridiculous and insulting to say these things because they're 150% provably wrong, inflammatory, fear-mongering, and just stupid.
Well, at least they're not saying it's against good old-fashioned family values. We're going up in the world.
That's why they use terms like pot shops, you know? So anyway, when we come back, we'll dive more into the city council, the ordinances, and then we'll move on to the ridiculousness of the medical bill. Stay with us.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Canabama. Now with all the information you want about CBD, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome back, everybody, to the second half of Sweet Home Canabama. Tonight, we are talking about, right now we're talking about the city council in the city of Mobile who is debating whether or not to pass ordinances to allow medical dispensaries. Now, by the time that the show is on, and the city council meeting was 2:00 today, and we haven't had any updates yet. So this is the most recent news.
I wish we
would have
known about it before.
I didn't know about it either. I would have been there, but and nobody tells me anything. Anyway, so sorry, I had to get my ducks in a row there for about 3 seconds. So we were talking about.
Is that what it sounded like?
Duck, yeah, duck, 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 duck. You should hear the sounds inside my head. Anyway, it's a circus. So one thing that was, you know, the pot shops and all over the city, and that you can already get in pharmacies, we know it's categorically untrue. Also, the mayor Sandy Stimson, this was in an article a few days ago, assured the people that medical marijuana would only be available by prescription. Again, this is not accurate, and I'd be happy to talk to any of these city council members, the mayor's office, any of the anybody. I'm happy to point this out and get this right, because we're still saying things that are untrue 90% of the time, and it's just confusing. There is no such thing in this United States of America as a prescription for medical marijuana. That is not how it works. In the states that have recreational or adult use access, you just walk in and buy it like you buy beer. You got to be 21 and have a valid ID. Yeah. But in states that are only medical, you have to go to a physician and get recommended or approved for a medical card. That doctor cannot write you a prescription. That doctor cannot advise you on methods of consumption. And that doctor will only have 4 hours of an online course to tell you anything. But once they approve you based on whatever the criteria are, I'm guessing a history of unsuccessfully treating whatever is wrong with you that is on the list with conventional medicine. That's probably where they're gonna start. If you don't have a history of anxiety treatment for years where you've taken prescriptions and it hasn't worked, you can't go to a doctor and say, hey, I have anxiety. I need a medical card.
And this is actually something we talked about a few weeks ago, which is like people using cannabis as a last resort, which
is not
a healthy thing.
But regardless, whether or not you're the most perfect medical marijuana patient on the planet, textbook, there is no prescription. No one is going to hand you a little piece of paper with all the security stuff on it and sign a piece of paper saying, take this much tincture twice a day for 30 days or whatever. That's not going to happen. It is not by prescription. The only thing by prescription is what we talked about a minute ago, which is the few people that are given prescriptions for Marinol, which is fake THC. I like the word fake. It's more honest to me. Synthetic sounds like, oh, it's a long word.
But it still kind of is scientific.
No, people may think of motor oil being synthetic and perfectly great for your car.
Yeah.
Not so with your body. Anyway, so it's not true that it'll only be available by prescription, because it's not available by prescription. However, in lieu of a prescription, you have a card that says I meet all the criteria based on the state. They have issued me permission to now go to a dispensary that they are surveilling 24/7 and supervising and breathing down their necks. And those bud tenders will not be able to advise you on a method of consumption or which is the type of product you might want to try, or your daily serving size, or anything specific about your medical condition, unless they have a pharmacist who is highly trained in cannabis, as well as the human body and pharmaceuticals. That'll be the best you can hope for. So there is no, I mean, I know it may seem like a small thing. Well, prescription is a technicality. No, it's not. Stop saying that. We've got to start nipping this in the bud and stop saying things that aren't true. It's not true, because people are going to go to their doctors and go, I need a prescription for medical marijuana. And they're going to be flabbergasted that they can't just get that. So anyway, today they had apparently, I thought the city council only met on Tuesdays at 10 a.m., but apparently they had a special meeting today at 2 that almost no one knew about. The city councilman, Scott Jones, is part of this meeting, and he's not comfortable with it until they understand, this is his quote, understand how the establishment and dispensing of a controlled substance would be handled and enforced. Well, sir, that information is in the medical bill. It's in the information the applicants got in their application. Every committee meeting has been recorded, to my knowledge, open to the public, and has notes somewhere. If you don't have it from the AMCC, I know my friends that are advocates and lobbyists are diligent about attending, watching, and taking notes and posting those notes. So, you know, the information's already there about how this will be handled. And it was voted on well over a year ago. and it's been freely available. So I'm not sure what more understanding. I know that members of the Alabama Medical Cannabis Commission were in attendance today. So hopefully the news we will get from today will be encouraging, because so far it's just like...
Well, we really hope with the amount of people that we know that might actually have been there today that there has been some sort of education and at least some sort of turning of misinformation, like pulling to the side saying, hey, did you know this? You know, and actual conversations taking place rather than just a bunch of hearsay.
Right.
And that's really what we're hoping for.
Right. And because we don't get included in these things automatically or even hear about them, we are forced to read about it in the paper the next day and read these quotes and have to dissect them rather than be in the room and say, hey, wait, that's not right, you know, which is what I would do. That's probably why they don't invite me. But
she's going to filibuster the whole thing.
Yeah, excuse me. But, you know, it seems like there's an abundance of fear and worry over how these highly secure and highly monitored dispensaries are just going to be the debauchery and, you know, destroy of our youth, our community, all that. It's already here, y'all. Anybody listening to me think that weed is not here in every neighborhood, demographic, part of the city, from the top to the bottom, is living a fantasy.
But see, you know, that also speaks about the psychology of people too, and how important it is to make sure that we have the correct information versus just a bunch of trivialized, you know, propaganda. I mean, this is coming after 100 years of people talking about how bad and how scary cannabis is. Not cannabis, marijuana is. And I mean, the fact of the matter is that we're just getting to the point where we're informing ourselves about education about this plant. And at some point, even though it's true, we allow ourselves to be cognitively dissociated from that information because my daddy or my pastor or somebody told me this, that I don't want to debunk right. this information because they wouldn't tell me wrong things. And
exactly.
So it's like
when you get to that age where you finally start to see that your parents are human,
mm-hmm.
and they have, you know, they're fallible and not perfect, and
yeah.
maybe even a little messed up, and it does something to you.
But there, I mean, there is beauty in that of like recognizing, hey, people will always inherently be people.
Right.
It's not that we're inherently good or bad; it's that we're inherently people.
Right.
And we have flaws, but we also have things that are amazing. We've done some incredibly and terrible things
in the
history of the world.
Right.
And for this thing to be any different, honestly recognizes that, hey, there are people that want things to change and don't want it to be the same anymore. And I think with what we're doing with even all these different organizations that are creating a more
streamlined bits of information. Yeah,
exactly. And that, I mean,
inclusiveness, you know,
yeah.
We don't have to leave it up to these elected leaders to make our decisions for us. We become involved by being informed and then voting based on our information, and then using everybody listening to the sound of my voice has some form of platform. Even if you've got 4 Facebook friends, that's your audience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every time someone shares educational information that comes from us, that we vetted, that's putting positive out there and undoing some of the negative. But we can't be the only ones. We can't. There's just too many. There's 400,000 people just in the county alone. You know, I can't treat and help and advise every single one.
But it's also important to recognize, too, the people that we might listen to as, like, leaders are not – they're elected representatives. They are not
right.
leaders.
And this
they are representative
issue,
of us.
The issue of cannabis is one of 1,001 issues for the mayor.
Definitely.
I can give him a mulligan on saying something that's completely wrong, if he will correct himself.
And he's pretty
forward.
Good about stuff like that. He's very well good at informing himself
and
about
I know what his convictions are on the topic.
Mm-hmm.
And he has to satisfy everyone. Yeah. And that is an impossible
And I'm sure
position.
Some of this information might be things that he's being fed by somebody
but
that's researching this.
Somebody thinks it's harder than it should be, or they don't qualify, mm-hmm. or there are details about this process that they can't complete. You're talking about life or death sometimes for people.
Mm-hmm.
When we come back, we'll keep going. We may not be able to finish all this, but it's important. Stay with us.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Canabama. Now with all the information you want about CBD, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome back, everybody, to the last segment of tonight's Sweet Home Canabama. I'm your host, Jennifer Boozer. We're located at 558 St. Francis Street in downtown Mobile. And our phone number is 251-255-5155. And our website is canabama.com. I'm here with Sergio Rangel. We've been talking about this city council meeting. That happened last week and some really off comments that were made. The reason they bother me is because they print them in the newspaper because these people, these are elected officials and people who should know the right answers. No one questions the validity of it. Mm-hmm. I wish they would call me and vet their answers. Again, nobody calls
Integrity.
Me. Integrity. Right. So, but one of the scare tactics is that, oh, Lord, there's going to be weed everywhere. Everywhere. The children, Lord, we're going to just all burn down and go to hell.
G-Ma and G-Pa's going to roll in their grave if we knew what was going to happen this time.
Yeah, so, but let me tell you how, I mean, I've read because I was applying for a dispensary license. I am not. We'll talk about that later. But in reading the application guideline alone, 42 pages, no one is going to be getting away with anything. These places, I mean, down to the height of the fence and the privacy of the parking to the 24/7 video surveillance that the state gets to have access to anytime they want and you have to save for 60 days, to who can be even touch the product. The transporters have to be licensed. It is licensed and observed and recorded to the hilt. The ironic thing
more
is—
More than the cops.
The only, more than anything— The only thing, ironically, that isn't in any way, you know, I don't know how they're going to handle banking.
Yeah.
Anyway, don't want to get off on that tangent. But what, you know, people aren't going to be sliding extra weed out the back to your children. Okay? They are going to know down to the gram where all the weed is, where all the products are, you know, and you're not going to sneak an eighth or a quarter out to your buddies. Not going to happen. No one, you know, you don't ever hear anybody worried about the farms or the processors where people know there's hundreds and hundreds of pounds of raw weed flour or processed product that's 12, 15, 20, 40 grand a jar for a liter of crude. No one's talking about that, but I guarantee you people will still have to get their street weed on the street. This is not going to open a floodgate. I just wanted to point that out because that was part of what was in this article and what people's concerns are. Stop fear-mongering that a small percentage of the citizens of Alabama who will actually get a card and be able to afford the highly taxed, overpriced five different products are going to somehow just bathe us all in the weed. Not happening. So anyway, a lot's been going on now that people have been weeks and weeks into the application process. There are a lot of issues. This is not, here's an application. We need to see your tax IDs and your financial statements and, you know, maybe a business plan and pay $2,500. I'm hearing now that I was part of that group. Now I'm not, but I am still hearing people are having to pay on the low end $50,000, upwards of $400,000, and I've even heard one consultant, and this is just to hire people who have filled out and won applications before to do your work for you. Because this application is a beast, y'all. It is, I don't know, maybe it's necessary. I don't know how everybody's going to get it done in the small time frame that we were given. But anyway, this is just to hire someone to write your application for you. 50 grand, upwards of 400 grand, and one company, it's a law firm out of New Jersey, they won't charge you much up front, but if your application is approved and you get a license, they want 800 grand right then and there for a successful application. So it is not pay $2,500 to the state and turn in some papers. And lots of us didn't know that. I never heard this, and I've been talking to people about this for years. I didn't know that it was that common and necessary to hire writers, you know, because I wouldn't want all of this stuff written in someone else's voice. I'm going to draw from my experience and knowledge and all that stuff. No, that's not how this works. So that's a huge problem. Not only is it costing hundreds of thousands more than people anticipated on the front end, there's things like professionally rendered blueprints for each location on a lease. I mean, like, are you supposed to take out a lease over a year before you can put anything in it for a dispensary?
Was it drone footage too?
Yes, it's professionally rendered blueprints. I'm talking ingress, egress, security plan, cameras, fencing, parking, everything per location. And I know one of my colleagues paid $5,000 for one rendering of one building. So if you're a dispensary license applicant, that's times three. If you're an integrated facility, that's times five. Plus your farm location, plus your processing facility. You know?
And employees that I'm sure you'd have to be able to train
right,
just to get to a
point. Right, but that's just to be able to turn in all the paperwork. Aerial photography, and then a rendering of the layout of how you would actually operate the inside of the store. You know, you have to get a lease for a year. And then what do you do with a lease you can't make any money off of?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then there's the build out and things like that, plus the security, you know, and insurance and things like that. It's way more than being able to plant seeds and process them and make them into products and open up a shingle. You know, I mean, and one of my stores cost me upwards of $60,000 because I had to do a full build out, you know, and stock it from scratch. You know, I had to buy everything. And then I had to hire staff and things like that. And that was less than a year before COVID. That was about 4 or 5 months before COVID. And that's why we no longer have a location on Schillinger. But, you know, this is becoming way more. I guarantee you that probably less than half the people who requested applications, which is 607, I'm willing to bet less than half of them actually turn in a full application with a fee. Because it's just so egregiously expensive. What we have talked about, what Antoine Mordecai and I have talked about, what Melissa Mullins and I have talked about, is making this program accessible to small businesses in Alabama. And I know that, you know, we've talked about it before. This is what I'm trying to build up to, is a crazy experience I had this week. I'm going to give you the Cliff Notes version. I was not going to be able to afford to apply for dispensary license on my own after 2 years of COVID. And I had some investors fall into my lap literally 4 days before the application to apply was due. They said, oh, we want to back you. We know who you are. We got everything covered. I applied for I requested an application. And then after 2 weeks, when we finally sat down and I was like, okay, you got to sit down and look at all this because I don't think you guys realize what this is. I didn't. And basically after the third week and hours of meeting together, they backed out and left me hanging. And I've had some other opportunities, but I don't, you know, you guys know I'm not going to work with just anybody. So I had a conversation this week with a gentleman who owns a smoke shop chain and he basically found out that I lost my funding and still wanted to participate. And he called me up while I was in Louisiana this week visiting family and basically, nutshell, offered to use my name as my, because I have the 15-year minimum residency. And on paper, I would be 26% owner of this company. And another lady who is a female black veteran, all check marks for grants and, you know, all those special interest loans and things, you know, trying to check all those boxes with two ladies. Basically, we would together be 51% owner on paper for the application. And the minute we get an application approved, they would give me 1% and a 40-hour-a-week job working in one of the stores for me to give up applying on my own and let them use my name and reputation. Now, you guys know this is exactly what I said was going to happen, and it's happened to me. This is not hearsay. This happened to me, a 30-minute FaceTime conversation on the side of the road in Louisiana, because this guy insisted we meet face-to-face. And I was flabbergasted in the moment, and I said, well, send me your proposal, and I'll take a look at it. And then 20 minutes later, I texted him and said, I'm not interested, because I realized what he was asking me, and I'm disgusted. So if anybody from the Alabama Medical Cannabis Commission is listening, this is happening. People are trying to skirt the rules. They're trying to skirt the law, and they're trying to use Alabama citizens. He thought he hit the jackpot because I'm not just a regular Alabama citizen. He wanted that name, that Cannabama reputation. He wanted my radio platform. You may not have it, sir. I would rather bow out and not participate. Anyway, we'll be back next week with more crazy, I'm sure. And we're out of time for tonight. But just know that Jennifer Boozer would rather not participate in the medical program than do it the shady way. And you could put, that's my me putting my money
put
where my mouth is.
Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Smoke it all night. We'll see y'all next week. Thanks for hanging in with my scratchy voice.
Ooh,
Sweet
yeah.
Home Cannabama. Have a good night.